Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And part of us are, we're carpooling a lot of the kids over right now. The case that I'm speaking to you about, Mr. Hendry, is against Kenny Rogers Roasters and the result of us being at dinner there that night. And I don't know if you want the particulars of this.
I want to get the specifics of you and the family at this restaurant where you say you lost your wallet.
That is essentially the case. I've been to a couple of attorneys, and Dolores Blasingame in Riverside, California, has taken the case, and it's based upon two things. That my wife would conspire with this restaurant to make a fool out of me in front of my children and to ridicule me in front of my children.
Let's start at the beginning, Mr. Bozell, because I know it's you're driving and you're talking. You got a hands-free set?
Yeah, I do. Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, to begin at the beginning, we were at the restaurant here in Upper Corona area having a dinner on Sunday night. I left the restaurant, and part of the way home, I felt that I did not have my wallet. And I turned around and drove back to the restaurant, and at which point I called the manager aside, and I told him that I had left my wallet there in the restaurant. He checked, and he said that he did not have the wallet. And I said, well, I believe you do, because I don't have it on me, and the last place I was here.
It wasn't in the car, was it?
It was nowhere in the car, no. And I said, yes, you do, and he began to get argumentative, and I did what any man would do. I stood up for myself. I wasn't going to allow him to call me a liar, and it got very heated.
Well, according to your attorney, it got extremely heated. You say that she said the restaurant manager got insulting?
Well, he said that he didn't have my wallet, which is the same as calling me a liar, and I said, yes, you do. And I demanded that he go get it. I believe that one of his staff members might have picked it up. There's an awful lot of these people who will do that. This was about 15 minutes after 9 o'clock. The children were in the restaurant with us when I went in to confront this manager and ask him for my wallet. At approximately 9:16, my wife reached into the right pocket of the windbreaker I was wearing. It was a varsity jacket. It was an old high school varsity jacket that I was wearing. And I was wearing it because I had lettered in water polo and I wanted my son to see it. And she reached into the lower right pocket of this jacket and she pulled the wallet out. And the phrase that she used, which was noted by my attorney, was, quote, is this what you're looking for? And I, with her holding the wallet up, it held me up to ridicule, and it made me look like a fool. I went home, and there was not much more I could do than just, I went into the master bedroom, and I just threw myself onto the covers, and I wept. But the next day I did something. And I'm not proud of this, but I took, my wife has a collection of Kenny Rogers souvenir vinyl CD, or discs, I should say, and I set them on fire.
Out of revenge, huh?
Yes, sir. I am suing Kenny Rogers Roaster for emotional damages in association with my wife, April Bozell. I'm also suing my wife for embarrassing me in front of our children by holding me up to ridicule in a chicken restaurant. And I believe, Mr. Hendry, more than anything else, for a wife to actively ridicule her husband in front of total strangers and the children that she had as a result of her sex with him is bad. And
Mr. Bozell, can I interrupt you?
Yes, sir.
The fact that your wife reached in to...
I've got the actual comment here. I couldn't find my notes. She said, my wife, are you looking for this, was the phrase.
All right, when she pulled the wallet out of your jacket.
Yes.
All right. Are you saying that you lost your wallet, but in point of fact, it was in your jacket the whole time?
That was my understanding when she pulled the wallet from my jacket. Then I did understand that it had been there. But at no time...
Did she know it was there, and she just let you, you know, look stupid?
I don't know. I think perhaps she did.
Why would your wife want to ridicule you? Do you have any motive for this?
Well, in a civil action, you don't need to have motives. All you need to do is prove that she made you look like a fool, and the court will hold in your favor. But if you want me to answer that question, I can answer it probably pretty succinctly. My wife, after the birth of our two children, put on a lot of weight. She used to have a very beautiful body, but I know it ain't never coming back. As a result of that, I did spend a little bit of time at these different clubs, adult clubs and so on. She found out about the amount of money that I was spending in the club.
What were you spending it on? Just alcohol and...
Alcohol and to have the girl dance, you know, do a lap dance for me. And I think she's resented all of that, and I told her I'd stop doing it. But I think ever since then, she's wanted to...
Has she ridiculed you and made you look foolish in the past?
Well, I can tell you what my attorney told me, and boy, true words were never spoken. There's a first time for everything.
All right. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Speaking with Mr. Stephen Bozell. He's a construction contractor. The man is married with two children. Was in a restaurant the other night, the Kenny Rogers Roasters restaurant, when he thought he'd left his wallet there. Halfway home, he turns around, goes back to the restaurant, engages in an argument with the manager who says he doesn't have the wallet, and then his wife reaches into his pocket and says, and the quote is,
"Are you looking for this?
Are you looking for this?" and held the wallet out there in front of everybody, which you say held you up to a great deal of ridicule.
Well, I would ask you, sir, if that doesn't...
I'm not going to disagree with you. I think it probably is an embarrassing moment. Now, the question that I would have... You also said that you took... She's a Kenny Rogers fan?
My wife's been a big Kenny Rogers fan for a long time. She's got the original vinyl of some of his records. It's not really my cup of tea, but I did what I did. I should not have done that. She had an original signed vinyl of Kenny Rogers in the first edition. When they did the song, I just popped in to see what condition my condition's in, which is a great one, and also Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town, and she had a signed 45.
I know that this is emotional for you.
Yes, sir.
She had a signed 45 from Kenny Rogers.
Yes, sir. She had a 45 signed Kenny Rogers, Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town. And I had made the comment to her in that song, it's about a Vietnam veteran who has lost the use of his limbs, and he is telling his girlfriend, his wife, please don't go into town and spread it. And he's saying, please, Ruby, don't take your love to town.
No, I know the song. It's a beautiful song. It's a very tragically poignant song.
Well, I felt that way when she held that wallet out. And I told her, I said, that song, Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town, about a Vietnam veteran who comes home, he's fought for his country, but he can't use his legs no more. And I know I'm not a Vietnam veteran, but when she pulled the wallet out of my pocket and she held it out there for everybody to see and she said, is this what you, are you looking for this? I felt like a man who had had both of them just shot right off in a war or something. And she was like Ruby, taking it to town to spread her, you know. I told her right there, I said, when you go to town, the only thing you'll be spreading around, probably something that you're going to have to get shots for.
You were angry.
I was very angry, yes.
And then you went out the next day and you burned her Kenny Rogers records.
Yes, sir.
This is, vinyl is very rare, so I imagine this was some collector's vinyl?
It was collector's vinyl, yeah. But to hold that wallet out in front of everybody, God and man, and say, are you looking for this? And make me look like a total fool was so hypocritical of her, especially since she likes that song, Ruby, Don't Take It to Town.
All right. 1-800-449-8686 with Mr. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, suing Kenny Rogers Roasters along with his wife for openly ridiculing him. in front of the children after he thought his wallet was lost. Let's go to a phone call here, and then we'll take a break. Joe, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
The guy that you're speaking with, she should have divorced him a long time. He's an idiot. He knew that wallet was in his pocket.
No, I didn't know it was in my pocket.
Man, don't you have a sense of feel?
Sir, it's a very heavy varsity jacket. It's very thick wool, okay? And the fact is, I had taken my wallet out of my pocket to pay the tab, and I always put my wallet in my back pocket of my pants. It was not there.
You just admitted you took the wallet out of your pocket. Didn't you know? Man, you knew where your wallet was. That woman should have never married.
Hey, wait a minute. If I knew where my wallet was, why do you think I'd go back to the Kenny Roger Roaster area and argue with the manager? And I swore up and down at him. I swore like a sailor on a dock. And the next thing I know, there's my wife pulling it out of my pocket and humiliating me. Are you trying to tell me I went back to that restaurant to have my feelings hurt? No,
yes,
sir.
That's exactly what you done. You went back to put your own feelings
wait
hurt.
A minute. Wait, why
you
would I do
like
that?
You act like a sailor.
Why would
sometimes
I do that?
Sometimes your head's up, sometimes it's down, man. Wake up.
Hey, you never lost your wallet.
Oh, okay. Never lost my wallet.
Oh, yeah, you have.
My wallet, I know where my wallet is at all the time.
Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you got your hands on it all the time.
All right.
Yeah, I got my hand on my wallet right now.
You got your hand on your wallet right now. Okay? And where's your other hand?
All right.
Well, but that's an example, Mr. Henry, what I'm talking about. People don't have any sensitivity to the problem.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Toll the line here. Was that guy sounded like, did you hear the accent on that gentleman? That's a New Orleans, that's a Louisiana accent. Just, I didn't, not apropos of anything, but...
If you'd stick to the prop at hand, which is my wife, hold me up to ridicule in a chicken restaurant.
Hold on for a minute. I'm going to do that, but I'm fascinated by that gentleman's accent. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Stephen Bozell, who is filing a lawsuit against Kenny Rogers Roasters and his wife, April Bozell, for a emotional attack. You say that you were ridiculed in the restaurant. Why are you suing the restaurant, by the way, sir? And I know that you're taking the kids.
Well,
but I just want to say, tell everybody that you're taking your kids on a water polo trip.
Yeah, my son is on a water polo team, and we are driving the kids right now. I'm part of the carpool. But what I was going to say is, I'm suing the restaurant of Kenny Roger because. In the middle of their restaurant is where it happened, okay?
Well, that could have happened anywhere.
Yeah, but when my wife said, are you looking for this, the manager gave me a look like I was some kind of a retard. I shouldn't say the word retard, but I can't, you know, I'm so emotional about it that when she pulled the wallet out, she said, is this what you're looking for? And the manager looks at me like I'm some kind of a mongoloid or however you want to put it. It made me feel it.
Well, how was he looking at you?
Well, he was looking me up. He did what you usually do when you're looking at somebody who you think looks like a circus freak. You know, he looked me from the top of my head down to my shoes and back up again. He's just looking me up and down like I'm some kind of a circus freak. And I can tell you, I own my own construction company. I have two children. I pay a mortgage. I send money to a brother in Knoxville, Tennessee, who's been down on his luck. If that sounds, and I would love for you to find me any circus freak you care to. Go to any circus in America and find out any circus freak that does that. Has a construction company. You know, obviously that's not the case. And so that's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but this is all right, let me take some phone calls. I just think a lot of this is in your head. I'm not saying that.
No, I'm not crazy, Mr. Henry.
I'm not saying that you're crazy, but a lot of it may be in your head. He's saying, he's looking at me like I'm a circus freak. You don't know what the man's thinking.
Well, I can tell you they all laughed when she said, is this what you're looking at? Or is this what you're looking for?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Melissa, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead. Melissa.
Hello.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, I think the first question I want to ask you is, when you went to the girly bars, did you figure that you were taking your love to town then?
No, ma'am, I was not cheating on my wife at all. I went to these adult lap dance places, but I never cheated on my wife.
Okay, so how can that not be quote, taking your love to town,
ma'am,
when all she did was pull out your wallet?
Because in the song, he's very hurt by her.
Wait a minute.
Do you not
think watching a bunch of girls with little clothes on is not hurtful to her?
But, ma'am, you know, you're right. Okay, I'm not going to say you're wrong, but I want you to, please, no, hold on. My wife put on a lot of weight after we had the kids, and her body's never come back, and I know it ain't never going to come back either.
But that doesn't have anything to do with love.
Okay.
Are you a fat man?
No, ma'am, I'm a construction contractor. I work out in the sun. I work a lot with lifting, and I've got a pretty trim body. I try to keep it trim. I watch my diet. A lot of people look at me like I'm some kind of a queer because I...
Could you not use that word? And why do they look at you that way?
Because I
keep mostly a woman's diet.
They are not retarded people. They are developmentally disabled,
if you
want to know the correct term.
I'm telling you that when my wife pulled that wallet out of my jacket in the middle of the Kenny Roaster area, and she said, "Are you looking for this?" And everybody laughed and laughed like they were looking at a circus freak.
You probably look like one, too.
Well, isn't that great? You know what? You probably
I
bet you weigh 1,000 pounds, and you've never been out of your house in 3 months.
Actually, no, I don't. I'm probably about 10 pounds under my desired weight.
Which is 260.
No, actually, it's 98 pounds.
In other words, you look like some kind of Biafran child.
No, sir.
No woman that doesn't have a rear end. No ass at all. That bothers me.
Okay. Well,
she's the one that started it.
Okay, all right. Melissa, thanks. The childishness of this is getting us away from the serious issue here of betrayal and the fact that you're taking this into a civil court. Now, has your wife betrayed you? And that lady made a good point.
She pulled it out right in front of the cottage cheese and the salad bar. There were people there who snickered, a woman who had been going by, and the reason why I say the cottage cheese, because it's just sort of seared in my mind at that moment of humiliation. I just saw the cottage cheese that this woman was putting on her plate. And at that time, I remember thinking, God, don't take your love to town. And she did. And that's my whole point.
She didn't betray you any worse than what you did to her when she put on too much weight after she had the babies and you went and had lap dances.
I didn't have sex.
She didn't have sex with anybody either, man. All she did was take your wallet out of your freaking jacket and go, is this what you're looking for? Here is Jamie on the Phil Henry Show. Jamie, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Jamie.
Hey, I just, first of all, with all due respect to the man on the telephone, I just think he's taking this way too seriously.
Well, maybe I am.
You are, sir. And, you know, I mean, like, maybe she didn't know the wallet was there. Maybe she just happened to catch a glimpse of it.
I'm not saying that she did. I'm saying that she could have waited until we were very tastefully out of the restaurant. And
well,
she
maybe
could have
she wanted to stop you from tearing the poor manager a new one. You said you called them all sort of names and everything, and then you're talking about suing your wife. If I was the manager of that restaurant, I would be suing you for slander.
Wait, how am I suing? I didn't slander him. I'm saying I made him.
You said you called him all sorts of names.
That's not slander, ma'am. That's just calling a man names. That's not slander. I haven't mentioned a man's name on the air, but I'll tell you this. I should apologize to him, and someday I will, but right now I'm embarrassed.
You're talking about suing him.
You want to sue the restaurant?
Well, I want to sue Kenny Rogers, but I don't want to sue that man.
And you want to sue your wife? Now, what kind of a message is that
sending
to
your
children?
What kind of a message does it send to a man when you pull his wallet out and you wave it around in the air in front of people and they laugh at you like you just come off main stage of the freak show?
People probably weren't laughing at you. I think that sounds like a personal problem that you may have.
Look at Steve. Can I...
Mr. Trader, please don't talk down to me, sir.
No, wait. I just want to ask you something. Isn't it just a funny thing to say, oh, look, here's your wallet?
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, who is wants to sue Kenny Rogers Roasters and his wife, April Bozell, because he thought he'd lost his wallet in their restaurant. He did not. It was in his jacket. His wife pulled it out in front of the manager of the restaurant and the employees. and proceeded, in his estimation, to ridicule him in front of the manager, the employees, and the children. What other employees were there?
The other employees were there, Mr. Henry, were busboys and a chef or a cook of some kind, and I'm assuming that because he had on the cook hat, which is a large, I call it a Chef Boyardee hat. I don't know if...
All right, so but it looks like a traditional chef's hat.
Yes, sir. And he was standing there with his hands on his hips, looking for all the world like, you know, he owned the place. And I looked at him. I said, hey, unless you're Kenny Rogers, why don't you just take it on back into the kitchen and, you know, whatever I said.
Well, that's what they said. You were argumentative. You yelled at this man. Don't you think you should apologize to him?
I want to apologize to him, but if I apologize to him, then it makes me look less of a man right now. And so I want to wait for the lawsuit to take its case.
Makes you look like less of a man. I don't understand that, sir, but we'll take a call.
What I'm saying...
No, let's just take a call. 1-800-449-8686. On the line now is Mari on the Phil Henry Show. Mari, go ahead.
Hey, I just have one thing to say. Respect is earned.
I didn't hear that, ma'am. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
That respect is earned. If you want respect in your life, you need to give respect. And I don't see this man giving the person working at the restaurant any respect or his wife.
But the man works at a chicken restaurant, and
it
I don't know.
It doesn't matter where he works.
Well, I know it doesn't matter where he works, but
it doesn't
isn't
matter
that...
where he works. If you want respect in life, you need to give respect.
Don't you think that one of the I guess you'd say one of the problems or one of the challenges of being a manager of a chicken restaurant is you're going to take a lot of guff from people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's suing your wife?
I am suing.
Suing your wife. That's embarrassing.
Why
That's
is that?
Very embarrassing.
Yes, it
and
was.
I think that the bottom line of all of this is low self-esteem. That's what it is.
Ma'am, I don't mean anything by this, but are you sticking up for the chicken restaurant, man? Because
no, I'm chicken. I'm
have you been
for your wife.
Have you been employed in the chicken?
No, I haven't. Never. I've never been in the restaurant business, never.
You've never been in a chicken restaurant?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, because I feel that if you have worked serving chicken dinners or owned a chicken dinner establishment, then you may have some sympathies toward this man.
No, and
wait a minute.
No,
the lady's talking
for your wife.
Yeah, the woman's talking
and for
about
any people that come in contact with you.
Ma'am, don't you think you should respect your husband and back his play?
Of course. But you know what? I don't see you respecting your wife when you go into the girly bars at all. Disrespecting your wife.
I don't see what that has
that
to do.
Yeah, that's the bottom line here, Steve. If you want
that's
your
the
wife,
bottom line.
You said that your wife took quote. You're quoting that song, Ruby. Don't take your love to town. When you went into the strip bars and paying for lap dances because your wife, April, gave birth to your two children, and women's bodies are going to suffer as a result of that. And some women, you're right, they keep the weight on.
Well, if that had been the case, because when I married her, she had a very beautiful, lovely body. And
what does
I think
that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything?
Well,
I don't understand that. That has nothing to do with your wallet being in your jacket. Nothing.
My wife should have informed me before we got married that it runs in her family that after childbirth...
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Ma'am, don't...
What are you talking about?
This lady... do you have children, ma'am?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Did you inform your husband... I bet you're a beautiful woman, and your husband probably loves you. But did you say to him, you know, after I have babies, you know, all bets are off?
You know what? After many years of marriage, bodies change.
Yeah. Especially when people get older.
All right.
Bodies change.
And I understand
it. You're not going to be perfect and not going to be Barbie doll body.
But I don't go to the strip bars no more. I went
well,
and
good
I,
for you.
I saw our pastor.
Good for you.
I spoke with our pastor about it.
Mm-hmm.
And our pastor had the same problem. He was caught with a 14-year-old girl. And yet he has...
Well, that's a whole different story.
Oh, God,
issue.
Man. I mean...
Well, no, but he... What
but
I'm saying, Mr. Henry,
is
Jesus forgives everyone.
Wife.
Jesus
you
forgives...
You are suing your wife, and that's disrespecting your wife.
Well, I love
marriage,
it.
I mean, that's not. She was not disrespecting you. I'm sorry to tell you that. She was not. She found your wallet.
Yeah,
for
man. And she made a joke out of it.
You know?
Well, I love my wife very much. She's the mother of my children, and I would never
you're
just.
You're suing her. What are you teaching your kids there?
Well, I.
What are you teaching your kids there? What example is that for your kids?
If I could
sue anybody that just. said something wrong to them?
If I could negotiate...
If that was the case, sir, oh, man, I would be rich right now because I would have sued a lot of people by now.
Ma'am, I felt like when she pulled that wallet out, I felt like I'd taken a wad right off the chin.
Get over it.
Ma'am, let me just say this. I'd be willing to drop the lawsuit.
You would?
Yes, I would. But the quid pro quo was she's going to have to drop at least 50 pounds of lard off of that.
Oh,
you know.
My.
Well, why isn't that fair? Why isn't that fair?
Oh, come on, man.
No, this is ridiculous.
This
is so ridiculous. It's very ridiculous.
Ma'am, have you ever taken one off the chin? No. Only in a... in a dirty, filthy movie, does that happen? But I felt, for all the world...
Sir, your analogies are really beginning to offend me.
Yeah. I don't understand.
You taking one off the chin?
Mm-hmm. I felt as if in the middle of that Kenny Chicken... I can't remember the name of the restaurant.
Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers restaurant.
Uh-huh.
That I took one full off the chin with the camera rolling and guys pulling cable.
Oh...
All right.
Just keep in mind that if you want respect,
I'm going to hold you over. I've got a number that you can call. It is a psychological...
okay, so I'm crazy.
Well...
Boy, all right, so that's wad shot number two.
Get out of here, you sick freak! Thank you very much, Mari.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
bye-bye.
I don't know what happened to him, but I think he had a line something like, hey, Mr. Henry, are you going to thank me for the money shot that finished your hour? All right, 1-800-44... Couldn't get it out, though. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's worst nightmare. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
From the Best of 2004 CD, it's from Brian Cleary in Smyrna, Georgia. Love the show. Could you please replay the bit where Jeff Dowder explains how wildfires start? You know, the rabbits. Thanks for putting on the best show on the radio. Brian Cleary. Here it is, Brian.
This is the fire season, Professor Dowder.
And there's going to be a lot of fires out west and in wherever there is dry brush. And I know they're now beginning to enlist the aid of weather satellite technology, et cetera, to try to track some of this. And I was wondering what you could perhaps fill in terms of the blanks in this.
Well, let's be very clear about what causes a forest fire. Once you know what caused a forest fire, then you're able to go down there and you know, keep it from happening. But the thing that caused a forest fire that people don't know, and I got a very good friend of mine, Toby Bow, who worked at Temple City Animal Hospital for 2 years, and he read up on it. When it gets very dry, a lot of the high brush, a lot of the high weeds, okay, Mr. Henry? Okay?
Yes, I'm following you.
Okay. A lot of the high weeds get very dry. Now, in the low-lying flatland foothill areas, as you get up into the higher crested alpine areas, there is a fairly significantly large jackrabbit population. A community could number anywhere from 1,000 jackrabbits to 50 to 53,000 jackrabbits in a significant area. The jackrabbits, I don't know if you've ever seen a jackrabbit, they get moving. You know, they haul ass, you know.
I've seen them. I got them around my house.
Yeah, exactly. So a jackrabbit gets hauling ass through the high, dry weeds. Static electricity now comes into play. The fur on a jackrabbit, as he's hauling ass through these weeds, gets a little spark of static electricity. Have you ever seen the static electricity on a pair of slacks? And
yes, I have.
Okay. The jackrabbit gets hauling ass through the weeds. Little spark of electricity goes. Now the jackrabbit will, at that moment, burst into flames. Now you got a flaming rabbit that's just hauling ass and setting everything on fire. Okay?
Now hold on for a minute, man. I just want to...
Yeah.
You're telling me that the fur from the jackrabbit...
Well, keep in mind, it's very dry.
Absolutely. It's extremely dry in those areas, and we do get static electricity. That the fur from the jackrabbit, as he goes through the weeds, creates static electricity, and the jackrabbit bursts into flames?
Yes, sir, that's right. So now you've got this bunny that's just, like, completely burning up, and it's touching off you know, trees as it goes by. Toby Bowes, he's camping with a friend of his, okay, they're up there doing some camping, also do some brown trout fishing, okay? He also, and I don't probably shouldn't say this, but he took a hit of acid. He said it was, like, unreal, you know, when you get up at that elevation, what the sky looks like. He took this hit of acid. And
well, I don't need to know about that, man, okay? Just tell me.
Well, anyway, Toby was up there, and on any given night, he said, man, you wouldn't believe it. I saw, like, 3-4 bunnies on fire just going, woo, man. They're touching off trees and everything.
Well, if that's the case, then your friend was in the middle of a forest fire.
What?
If that's the case, your friend was in the middle of a forest fire.
Well, he didn't make any comment on that specifically, but...
Well, what do you mean he didn't make any comment on it? Look, if he's seeing 4 or 5 flaming rabbits touching off trees...
Well, again, like I said, it's, you know, I don't have the full story, but he's up there... And he was up there with Chris Sorensen, Toby Bowes up there, and Steve Wedlock, okay, which are a couple of dudes that we surf with. Anyway, there is up there, and he took a hit of acid. Next thing you know, he's got rabbits that are on fire, just boom, boom, boom. And that's when Toby said, I get it. Okay, this is what's going down. The rabbit gets on fire.
Wait a minute.
What?
Are you telling me your friend cooked this up on acid?
Well, but see, you got to understand something, Mr. Henry. Acid will take you to the molecular level of consciousness.
No, wait a minute. I just want to be clear. Your friend takes a hit of acid and starts imagining that flaming rabbits are setting off trees.
Well, think about it, man. I mean, what's wrong with it?
What do you mean static electricity from the bunny fur?
It does, man. If it's that dry and the bunny fur touches it off, you get acres of trees up in flames before you can say, hey... Time for another bong hit, because what's happening, man, is all of that dead growth, it goes up. The rabbit doesn't know. The rabbit doesn't care. The rabbit doesn't know that it's touching it off. What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, man? You know, you would have been fine if you would have said your friend went up there and you didn't mention the acid.
I just said it because he said the sky looks cool.
Yeah, that's fine, man. But now you're telling me, after you tell me your friend took a hit of acid, now I'm sitting here thinking about flaming rabbits. He hallucinated the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's right, man. Yeah, he just came up with the idea of a rabbit, you know, bursting into flames, just like that.
No, he did it with the help of LSD.
Well, whatever, man. I mean, you called me up, so.
Where are you right now?
At a pond.
You're at a pond?
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that. You see that, Chris? Okay, a rabbit just went through. Okay, there it is. There's the flames. So you can kiss my you-know-what, man.
What do you mean a rabbit just...
A rabbit just hauled ass through, man. Now there's fire.
Is the rabbit on fire?
What's left of him, yeah. He's cooking over there now, man. This rabbit's just all cooked up. But that's okay, Mr. Talk Show Host. You know what's going down, so that's fine. Give me some more coffee, man. Give me some more of that sangria.
There it is, by request flashback, the Flaming Rabbits, and it's the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back. Art Bell and General Johnson Jameson coming
up. Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
You mean we've butchered the Art Bell bit right off the bat?
I got the wrong thing.
Yeah, I know you got the wrong thing, dimwit. I need Dancing Queen.
Well, then why don't you get out and dance?
So you're calling me a fairy, huh? I'm in the middle of a...
Ow!
When I said I need Dancing Queen, I want the song. It doesn't mean I'm going to get out and dance.
Fairy.
And General Johnson Jameson is going to be joining us from the from underneath the Saskatchewan crust as he attempts to contact the ghost of Bob Denver. Is that correct, General?
You want to turn the phone? Jesus.
I'm sorry, I didn't have the phone plugged in.
Yeah. Yes, that is correct, Art. We are going to try to contact the ghost of Bob Denver. And Igor is with me. Igor, can you...
Yeah, man, I got it going on, baby. Don't worry about it, all right? You're building my permanent.
All right, don't worry. Igor, I don't mean to... Igor is such a genius. Somewhere is Bob Denver. Bob Denver, can you hear us? Bob Denver, can you hear us? Bob Denver.
Hi. You fill up my senses...
Holy Jesus, Igor, what'd you do?
The wrong switch.
Is this John Denver?
It sounds like it is John Denver, General.
Hi, I'm John Denver, yeah.
Well, I want Bob Denver. Is he there?
Yeah, he's right here.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bob. I'm Bob Denver. I'm not John Denver. Hey, and the skipper's here too.
Gilligan.
Well, thank you for that half-baked bit.
You're welcome.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.